Heroes and Villains, the Villa fanzine, new issue out today, only a pound. A bit of context for you Villa voice noters. The reason I'm banging on about Heroes and Villains this week is because I've been sent on a little bit of a nostalgia trip thanks to an Aston Villa fan called Theo Lawson, who you may have seen the other podcast that we've done, that we've stuck on YouTube and we've stuck on the podcast channels, where this guy Theo, he loves the Villa, but he loves the fact that he's married and wants to preserve his marriage to his beloved wife. So when she politely advised that he cleared out a lot of his Villa memorabilia in terms of programs, books, VHS videotapes, and Heroes and Villa fanzines, who better did he think to send it to a grateful recipient, to me and Dan Rollinson, who asked for any contributions that we can have to spruce up our Podimore Heath recording space. So anyway, basically Theo, who lives in Ireland, has gone to the considerable trouble and expense of sending us two big boxes of Villa stuff, and it is like an Aladdin's cave. So you can check on our Claret and Blue podcast channel and on YouTube, you can see the video that we've done going through the first box. But as soon as we opened the box, the first thing that I came across was a copy of Heroes and Villains. And I used to write for Heroes and Villains, and I used to sell Heroes and Villains. So it gave me a warm glow to see these perfect copies of the magazine. It's given me these really, really weird flashbacks, because my mate Gaz, who used to come to the games with me, he used to cringe when I went into full salesman mode. I used to sell copies of the magazine outside the Witten Lane entrance. So Gaz would probably spend the rest of the match with us sitting down the front of the whole end, or standing down the front of the whole end even back then, just mimicking me basically, as if my sales patter was like some kind of East End barrow boy flogging melons on the market in Albert Square. I don't know how many of you will remember the fanzine, but it was a quid. It was A5 size, so it'd fit perfectly in your back pocket of your jeans, of your Levi's 501s or your shell suit bottoms or whatever you went to the game in back then. And it was brilliant. You'd be able to, it would last you all the way back on the number 11 bus journey. Too much information here, but it would probably last you several toilet trips across the weekend. People who sold the magazine outside Villa Park, including myself, developed this 6-word catchphrase. No, it's not the match program, because those were the inquiries that we'd have to fend off from occasional tourists or Villa Park part-timers. But when it comes to Heroes and Villains, I owe a massive debt of gratitude to Dave Woodall, the founder, editor, father, driving force of Heroes and Villains. I was trying to find my way then as a young aspiring sports journalist, and I think getting published in Heroes and Villains was the first time I'd actually got my work published. So Dave deserves the blame or the credit for giving me the chance to hone the corny pun-based crap I've made a career out of. Thanks for that, Dave. Back then, looking at the magazine as well, I was Matthew rather than Matt, still with one T, but I clearly wanted to take myself seriously back then, even if that tactic quickly changed. So the other fanzines that were available back then were the Holy Trinity and the Wit and Wisdom. But as our sales pat suggested, Heroes and Villains was the Villa fanzine. It was launched in 1989 and had a good run for 25 years until 2014. I interviewed Dave 10 years ago when the print edition was coming to an end. I say interviewed, anybody who's met Dave Woodall or spent any time in his company will know that he's not backward in coming forward when it comes to venturing an opinion or an anecdote about football, music, popular culture, or how much he hates the Albion, which is very much, he really hates the Albion. I say interviewed, he struggled to get a word in edgewise with him, but we've become mates since then, and we still meet up with our mutual mate, Alan Ostergitz, or Oz, from the Black Country Lions. A few of you might know him. So we still try and catch up for a few pints, but I think I'm in danger of being kicked off the Beers and Cobs group, because I've been a no-show in the last couple of times we've tried to get together. So I will catch up with you soon, gents. So when I did interview Dave in 2014, when he'd come to the decision because of the rise of smartphones and people consuming their football content in digital form rather than relying on print products, I asked him to kind of explain the journey and the vibe of Heroes and Villains, and this is what he said. It was a time when independent supporters associations were being set up, and there was a desire for fans to have a voice. Back then, fans were campaigning against identity cards, supporters were being treated badly, English clubs were still banned from Europe, and it was the immediate aftermath of Hillsborough. Supporters' voices were going unheard, so this was the only vehicle they could use to get their voices across. There was no internet, very few phone-ins, so really all you had was us and the letters page of the Sports Argus.
Hello, Franksy. It's Barry from Wheelie Castle. He's got to go. He's got
to
go.
Heroes and Villains, in my mind, was the intelligent alternative to that. Really, I suppose it felt like a self. It felt like a safe place where fans could write their opinions, but could also listen to some reasoned, measured opinions from fellow fans. And there weren't really that many forums or platforms to do that back then. So, in terms of where Villa were at in 1989, Graham Taylor was in the process of reviving the club. He'd taken us from second division shambles to first division title contenders. And it just felt like Villa were going places. So this is what Dave had to say. The year we launched was the start of Graham Taylor's last season, which was fantastic and one of my favourite seasons ever. It was approaching Italian 90 and football started to get fashionable again and just kept growing and growing. I think we're all amazed at how well it had gone for Villa because we had avoided relegation by the skin of our teeth the season before. We'd sold our best players. Alan McNally and Martin Keown had gone. But lo and behold, we almost won the league. It set the scene for 20-odd years of unpredictability. I suppose that sums it up, doesn't it? Those 20-odd years of unpredictability. We're going from Sir Graham getting us back on track in 1989 to 2014 when the mag ceased to be a regular staple in print when Paul Lambert had got a swirl in the plug hole of the Premier League. It wasn't just known for serious writing, Heroes and Villains. If that was the case, I wouldn't have got a look in. But one of the most famous features was Ivo Writes Home. Now, is it Ivo or Ivo? We'll call him Ivo, actually. Ivo Writes Home, which people will know was written in honour of Ivo Stas. So Ivo Stas, as you know, will always be that famous quiz question, the answer to that famous quiz question. Which player scored a goal for Aston Villa without ever playing a competitive match for them, which is basically when he scored an own goal playing for Banik Ostrava against us. We signed him, he got injured and never kicked a ball competitively for the club. And this column, Ivo Writes Home, was a spoof of that, basically saying, well, if this guy is stranded, you know, miles from home in England with nothing to do, what's that experience going to be like? And Dave was asked Dave about this as well when I interviewed him a long time ago, and he said, I'd love to meet the guy who wrote the first one. His letter was brilliant. I carried on writing it. Even now, people ask about him, the original author. I'd like to think he's now a successful comedy writer, and Ivo is back home in Ostrava as a multimillionaire on the basis of what he scammed off the Villa. Steve Stribe mentioned it in his autobiography and said it's a lot closer to the truth than anybody can imagine. I think the idea was that this spoof Ivo thought things he heard from the terraces were actually proper names, like Tony Cascarino, you donkey. So, yeah, I love the Ivo Stas stuff. Another thing that's worth mentioning about Heroes and Villains, and this was evident when we looked through that treasure trove that that Theo had sent the other day. Doug Ellis used to get plenty of stick, and I don't think he was the biggest fan of Heroes and Villains. And just looking through that box, a completely random sample of editions, we already found a couple that had got Ellis out covers. And Dave tells this story about Doug, which is typical Doug. He says, when we first started, we put the magazine on sale at an AGM and sold a few copies there. Doug came along and gave me 39 pence. So he still owes us 11 pence. But I suppose back then, the vibe of Heroes and Villains was very much of the time in terms of fanzine culture had really exploded. You got things like When Saturday Comes, which was a great magazine, which gave people the opportunity, gave football fans the opportunity to write honestly. And in terms of my own journey into sports journalism, I used to love things like 90 Minutes magazine and Goal magazine. And my opportunity with Heroes and Villains was actually a springboard to get me work experience at a magazine called Total Football magazine, to get me work experience on The Express and Star and The Evening Mail. So it was a real good introduction for me into getting published work, basically. It's hard to imagine now, in 2024, in an internet world where rival fans can scream abuse at each other, often anonymously, at all hours of the day, from all corners of the globe. Back then, fanzines like Heroes and Villains gave supporters a voice at a time when the uber commercialisation of the game meant football fans needed to be heard and needed to be represented. As I've explained, it gave me a voice too, the chance to write about my beloved Aston Villa, which is something I'll always be grateful for, even if you lot are probably sick of my voice by now, which seems like the best place to leave this week's episode. So thanks, Dave. Thanks for the opportunity. I will meet up with you and Oz and get you that pint. But don't worry, I'm going to leave you with another of those dreadful dad jokes. Now, this one I can actually credit to my dad, who I went round to see him and my mum on Saturday night. He'd found out this actual dad's joke, this book of dad jokes. So this one's from there. Did you realise that the guy who invented throat lozenges had passed away? There was no coffin at his funeral. Speak to you next week. Up the Villa.